Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. 3, 2, 1. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Well, that's not exactly true. You're familiar with Dom and Crute. This time it's Dom and Crite-Lo. Pat Crite-Lo, founding editor of Up North News. You can find us at upnorthnewswi.com. Filling in for Mike today, joined by Dom for this hour. Good to see you, my friend.
Hey, Pat, good to see you, man. Thanks for stepping up, filling in. Crutey doing some radio business. So, Pat, stepping up, always good to talk to you, man. Thanks for joining us.
I always got to tip my cap to him because, I mean, I was a radio rat for years before moving into TV, then moving into politics, now here into digital media. And, I mean, it's thankless as all get out to do the business side of, well, of anything media related, you know, sure. To be honest. And so I'm glad he's willing to do it. And I'm willing to, just kind of pinch hit here while we can. And, you know, we'll talk a bit more this hour about saving democracy, which I've said before is really not something any of us signed up for. You know, we those things that you take for granted, because otherwise they you know, it turns out that they can go away. They can come back to bite you, just like you're walking across a freshly mowed lawn, and you think you've done all the right things, and you take for granted. And then I don't know if you can see on the monitor here, Dom, you get rusty spikes like this in your yard that from landscaping that was done a couple of years ago. This was a spike that was holding down some new turf, and it has come up and it is bent in a shape that I understand why people died in the 1920s, you know, from this kind of stuff. You don't know what's going to sneak up on you when you take things for granted. I am at a loss to explain the deadly things that are in our path on any given day.
It is. It's amazing, Pat. And I'm with you, man. It would never be like to save democracy. And I don't know that, you know, I'm saving democracy, but certainly having these conversations and trying to be honest and critical and thoughtful about what kind of world we want to live in, man. And I never in my wildest dreams thought that I would have to be pondering and considering those things. I just thought, oh, what is what is. And yeah, there's some problems, but I'm just going to roll through it and have some fun and not really worry about it. And what we've come to find out is that when good people do not get involved, then, you know, then other people will fill those gaps. And then we see, you know, what happened on January 6th. And it wasn't lost on me yesterday, Pat, the 78th anniversary of D-Day, and going to fight the fascists and going to kill fascists. That is what we did. That is what we honor the greatest generation. That's what they did for us. And since then, what do we have? This ever creeping fascism, this white nationalism. You know, when ignorance gets glorified and alternate facts become someone's reality, you know, we're really in some strange places. And so to be able to jump online and certainly on the radio and engage in the digital media and have conversations with friends and meet new friends and fight assertions, that is a little bit more of a responsibility than I ever thought I'd have to really even worry about. I mean, oh, Crutey, we'll start a radio show, we'll get on the air, we'll talk about legalizing weed and talk about the good times, and oh my God.
You know, I think plenty of people thought, well, can't I just watch Real Housewives, you know, or The Bachelor? Do you really have to bug me with this political stuff? And anybody that knows me from you know, my earlier time as a journalist through my time as a state legislator, they've gotten the lecture from me. It's when you stop paying attention to politics, which a lot of people want you to do. It's when you stop paying attention that things begin to creep up that you thought couldn't happen. And don't think it can't happen happen here. We've watched what's happened in Hungary. We've watched what's happened in Turkey. We've watched what's happened in Venezuela and Brazil and elsewhere. We know that places that were otherwise peaceful, that had functional governments, suddenly didn't. Although I shouldn't say suddenly, it's never sudden. It is something that creeps. Granted, January 6th was a big chaotic day. But as we're going to find out in the committee hearings this week, there was a lot creeping up well ahead of January 6th. Yes, and things that are starting to creep up again ahead of this year's elections and the 2024 elections. And I think that people, again, in our instant gratification world, are looking for, you know, immediate proof, that immediate smoking gun. In other words, they need Donald Trump or somebody to actually say the words, "I'm going to commit treason." It doesn't work that way, you know? People talk about, the fall of the Roman Empire. It didn't fall on a particular day. It fizzled out over time as it lost its way, as it lost its glory. So this is something that happens throughout history, where occasionally it is thrust upon people, and this time around, it's us. It's been thrust upon us to say, look, if you want to keep this little experiment in democracy going, you're going to have to step up, because surprisingly, there are people around us embracing authoritarianism, embracing ignorance, and trying to get people not to care. Dom, I feel like we're preaching to the choir. Every person listening right now cares. I would be hard pressed to find one of your regular listeners that is listening to you just for, you know, the legal weed talk. So we got to ask, where do we take it from here? And that to me is getting out and talking to other people, who the people you know don't want to hear about politics. And I know that's basically your DNA, Don, is people that don't want to necessarily focus on politics, but feel like they kind of have to now and then.
Well, we got to make it sexy for them, Pat. You know, I think delivery matters. You know, the little, who's got the time, right? And the time that you do have, because people are, you know, jumping from one foot to the other. They got kids, they got family, they got work. I mean, if we do not make, you know, carve out a little bit of time for our civic engagement, well, again, other people are going, are planning, have long-term plans as how they want to see this country. And if you look at how the anti-abortion activists, you know, the Christian right have been fighting Roe v. Wade since Roe v. Wade. I mean, these are not battles that are won or lost. This is just a constant evolution of different pressures. I like to compare it sometimes to the sun. You know, you have a constant explosion of a star pushing out energy. Then you have the gravity of the star, you know, balancing it off. And so there's always this constant struggle. It never really ends. And I'd like to say, well, we did it. Congratulations. We got a black president. Now there's no more racism. Yeah, right. Yeah, right. The J6 committee just released some more video today. Remember the Confederate flag guy walking through the Capitol?
Right.
They show he is one of many charging up outside the stairs carrying the Confederate flag. I mean, ignorance will always be there. It's up to us to everyone has to make our own choice as to how we deal with that. You said something earlier, Pat, about the slow creep. I've been following guy Scott McFarlane on Twitter. He's a CBS reporter. He's a congressional correspondent for CBS News. He said the former January 6th investigator, a person named Denver Riggleman, this investigator saying the Capitol riot wasn't a, quote, caught up in the moment, unquote, attack. This was not. As we've heard, just drips and little pieces, and as we can probably surmise and what will be confirmed presumably at the J6 hearings, is that this was a coordinated, multi-level, a nationwide planned effort led by the White House to subvert democracy and to stop the peaceful transfer of power, because a criminal lost, because Trump lost. And the people that think, well, Trump couldn't possibly lose. I mean, we're in a terrible recession. We had a terrible pandemic. I mean, how could, Trump lost the House. He lost the Senate. I mean, what indicators are there that Trump would have actually won? That's what I don't get. So the willful ignorance of some of the Trumpsters, I don't know that we can ever convince them. There is no convincing of them. But those who, you know, maybe carve out a few minutes of their time to listen to the devil's advocates, or maybe, you know, get your news, ma'am, you know, plan your day Thursday, 7 p.m. Central Time. Go check out. You know, if nothing else, educate yourself, you know, see what your tax dollars are paying for. And then at the same time, look at what the Republicans are doing and who is saying what. Jim Jordan, Banks, Marjorie Taylor Greene. You know, look at the Fox News. Fox News, Pat, they're not going to carry it. They're too busy. They got what? They want to make sure they get the new Tucker Carlson show out that day because they don't have time for the grotesque, I think, is how Carlson described the J6 committee and other Republicans describing it as a circus. You know, that's going to be there. And I think anyone who hitches their wagon continue to try to defend what will ultimately become the indefensible. History will not judge them well.
I guess you would, again, one of those things, there's been so many times where you think, well, this is it. This is what's going to get people to see. And the most recent one was Tucker Carlson, you know, going to Hungary and, you know, praising the authoritarian, you know, dictator wannabe that, you know, wants to bring that style of government or lack of government here. So we do rely on folks out there to kind of spread the word. Since I'm going to show some bias toward the western side of the state here, where Gene from Eau Claire has been hanging on to visit as well. So Gene, thanks for being here.
Hey, Gene.
To you guys, I appreciate that. I have a question for you, having been from our area here. You know, I've been really disappointed, and of course they get a lot of phone calls from me, our local TV stations, and you know who they are.
I do, having worked at one for nearly 10 years,
I know
yes.
You're dead. Yep. And, you know, I got a feeling you'd be giving us a lot more information than we're getting right now of what's going on in our state. I call, I say, why don't you get this information out to the public? Well, they're waiting, you know, they get their information from somebody in Madison. And we don't get, we're not getting any of this stuff, you know. Have you noticed that, Pat?
Oh, yeah, I do, Gene. Yeah, I've noticed it, and thank you. I appreciate your words and trying to hold these local folks to account. And I know some of my old colleagues, they know that I'm expecting better of them, and I really hope to see that come Thursday night as well. Dom's joining me here. Pat Kreitlow will be back after this.
I wish I was special, but I'm a creep. I'm a widow. What the hell am I doing here?
Boy, it's like they're so ideological that they subvert their own interests.
Well, all right, you squares, it's time you smoked. Fire up this funk and let's have a toke.
When they go low, we get high.
Make you dance.
The Devil's Advocates.
And we are back from the 420 break. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Phone lines are open. We'll take your calls at 844-967-2789. I'm Dom. That's Pat Kreitlow, Up North News, WI.com, filling in for Crudy, doing some business today. Pat, thanks for sticking around. Callers, be patient. Once again, 844-967-2789. I want to throw this piece out there for your consideration and the audience, an opinion piece, Greg Sargent, Paul Waldman from the Washington Post. I'm just going to jump into the body of this and because it kind of dovetails off of what we were talking about, Pat. As they write, the fundamental truth about this moment. Now, let me just give you the title here so you know. Memo to Democrats, hammer the GOP as complicit in Trump's coup.
Trying to build a bridge, for crying out loud. They're complicit.
No, there is no bridge building with seditious, conspiracy, treasonous bastards. Right. That would be my position. Anyway, halfway through the piece, Waldman and Sergeant Wright. The fundamental truth about this moment, as has been the case all along, is that the defense of democracy will never truly be bipartisan. It must, by necessity, be a largely partisan exercise pursued by Democrats. The Republican response should not be granted credibility on these matters that it simply doesn't merit, let alone placed on a plane of equivalence with the committee's investigation. One of the key facts about the GOP pushback is that the Republicans, who will be most visible in trying to discredit the committee's findings, are some of the very people who were allegedly among the most involved in the coup attempt. That includes Jordan, who had multiple phone conversations with Trump on the day of the insurrection. What's more, as many as a dozen House Republicans were reportedly involved in Trump's effort to overthrow the election in the weeks leading up to January 6th. And GOP leaders such as McCarthy are refusing to honor a lawful congressional subpoena in order to keep direct knowledge of Trump's state of mind during the violent insurrection attempted shield from the public. These Republicans, of course, have the right to make their case, but they don't have a right to have their
inevitably fantastical,
bad faith, saturated claims passed on to the readers and viewers uncritically. Nor do they have the right to equal time. The committee will present the results of months of evidence gathering, which will include extensive document examination and thousands of hours of interviews. Republicans rolling out bogus quote-unquote investigations that are expressly designed to muddy the waters around legitimate congressional fact-finding into an effort to destroy our democracy don't deserve the same volume of attention. Pat, you want to jump
on this? Benghazi. Yeah. Sorry. Something in my throat there. Sorry.
I'll jump on. I'll continue on. As of now, it looks as if Democrats and their allies do intend to make clear the extent of Republican culpability in the insurrection itself. This is an investigation into their conspiracy to overturn the election they lost, said Nicole Haley, the communications director for the Defend Democracy Project. Haley says a large coalition of liberal groups will amplify the committee's findings in the face of Republican disinformation. I wonder, does that include us, Pat? Finally, it isn't just that Republicans labored relentlessly to justify and cover up the insurrection, though they have. It isn't just that they've tried to excuse Trump's repugnant and possibly criminal actions, though they've done that too. It's that many of them are either complicit in the attack on democracy the committee is charged with investigating, complicit in Trump's effort to cover it up, or both. Democrats should make this truth absolutely central and make Republicans own it. Greg Sargent, Paul Waldman, The Washington Post, Pat Kreitlow, Dominic Seligman. I would not have written that any better. What do you think?
No, and I think that accountability is something that we continue to hammer. It was the reason the day after the insurrection, we put up an editorial that said Tom Tiffany must resign or be expelled from Congress. And the same could be said for Scott Fitzgerald for voting to strike down the legal vote totals from states. And in Tiffany's case, it goes one better when he signed on in support of a failed lawsuit from officials in Texas that wanted to have thrown out the results of elections in other states, including Wisconsin. Right. So let me say that again. Tom Tiffany signed on to an out-of-state lawsuit seeking to have Wisconsin's votes thrown out, the people that elected him to Congress
in that very same election, the same ballot, the same election, the same day that he won, he wanted to throw out what? His own vote? Would that then nullify Congressman Tiffany's existence in Congress then as well?
You would think, again, unless you can prove that somehow only one part of the ballot was altered. But again, there's been none of that. No matter how many times they want to talk about it, it's never there. In the short time we've got left, let's turn to Mark from the SAC, who's been waiting patiently on the phones. Hello, Mark.
Hey, Mark.
Come on back, Mark. There he is. We got you?
I see him. I don't hear him.
You got me.
There he is. All right. Hey, Mark, welcome back. Yeah, you're good, man. What do you got?
Yeah, thanks. Thanks, Pat. Yeah, I have fond memories of Chippewa Falls. I had an aunt that lived just a few blocks away from the Falls Bait Company. And driving down to Chippewa Falls, you know, riding with my family, going through all the little burgs down 50 feet all the way from, you know, just south of Superior to Chippewa Falls. That the 14th Amendment is perfectly clear. It's written in plain, simple English. Giving aid to the insurrectionists or rebellionists is something that gets you booted out. You know, you're not... eligible to serve anymore. I mean, Ron Johnson, the Republican delegation, I mean, any of these guys, they have it in writing. They actually supported some of this stuff in writing. We've got in black and white ink that they signed off on some of this stuff, and they committed treason against the Constitution. They violated their oath that they invoked God when they took that oath. And I mean that, you know, they're supposedly religious and they're supposed to take that kind of thing seriously. BS. I mean that they need to be booted and booted soon.
And that's why I would like to see these hearings lead to some more aggressive action by Democrats who control Congress, who control the White House. They had better take this in the short time they have left while they still are in charge. So they are still the responsible adults in charge and do something with it. Dom and Pat Kreitlow here in for Mike Crute. We'll be back with more of your calls and topics in just a little bit.
Much to me as a festering bowl of dog snot.
I can taste it.
I don't know if you know the Devil's Advocates, but the show is kind of a big deal.
I kind of feel like Brian is trolling me at this point because that's the second time that he's dropped in a line from Anchorman. And as somebody who was the news anchor in Eau Claire at the time that Anchorman came out, based mostly on my life, I do want to say, because Ron Burgundy just sounds better than Pat Kreitlow. It just flows better off the tongue. But yeah, I said that all the time. I'd walk into bars and go, you know, I need a free drink because I'm a pretty big deal. And it worked every time. Well, 60% of the time, it worked every time.
Nice.
Hey, I got to tell you, I lived in L.A. when they were drawing Wreck-It Ralph. So I'm just going to leave that there and just say that there are certain times during the movie that I'm like, wow, especially like over-the-shoulder shots. My God, mm-hmm. They got me really good.
I do have, and I suppose I'll have to at some point take it out of the basement. It's probably somewhere next to the toaster oven and the bread maker. But the coworkers did alter a movie poster of Anchorman. So in the red blazer, the burgundy blazer, they've got
the
my
mustache,
face.
Pat, you got to get the mustache if you really mean it.
Now that would be a stretch, but you know if that's what I got to do, still have the conch shell, you know, where I assemble the news team. It's, they just can't hear me now. They're farther away and far afield. But all right, well, thanks for that. Thanks for the reminder of what I once was in a past life. But I'm very happy now to have worked my way to Up North News, helped found that. We've had some great reporters come through over the 2.5 years that we've been up on air. We're part of a network called Courier Newsroom with outlets in 8 states total. And it was from a couple of these other sister outlets, Dom in Michigan and North Carolina, that came the story that we actually put up on Up North News this afternoon that I wanted to share with folks and just do some shameless promotion for, because not only is it a great written story, but it's based on an interview and we're putting up videos of it as well. And that's because we're talking about a pro-choice pastor by the name of the Reverend Katie Zay. And she grew up in an evangelical family. Then after college and divinity school, is now a pro-choice pastor in North Carolina and has worked her way up to be CEO of the Religious Coalition for Reproductive Choice. It's a national organization of faith leaders that advocates for reproductive freedom and dignity, including abortion rights. And it provides direct care to people seeking abortions, including spiritual care and accompaniment. And she talks to us all about how she came to her pro-choice views. And it was sometime after seminary when she was put on an assignment to basically work with or counsel women who were seeking out abortion health care. And she tells very powerfully the story of going there as a young woman herself, going to talk to these women, But of course, all the people demonstrating around didn't know that. They didn't know she was a new pastor. And so they're heckling her and jeering her and telling her not to do it. And she said it was a real awakening that these are people calling themselves Christians who were trying to make her life hell. And at that point, based on that and what she learned inside the clinic about the very essential nature of reproductive health care, that she decided that this was what she wanted to do, was to help women and help defend their rights. She talks about how her own faith journey is a part of her own deconstruction journey of being raised in an environment where gender roles were very specific, with very strict sexual ethics, compared to what she's, you know, since learned. And that is, you know, that, you know, the teachings of Jesus would be of such that he would be with those women in their time of trouble. He would be counseling with them. So I'd urge folks to check out that story because, Dom, as we look at the potential demise of Roe v. Wade, we're going to have to be talking about the people like her who are going to be the community leaders that are still going to look out for individuals. And one more side note on that, today happens to be the anniversary of not Roe v. Wade, but a decision that led up to that, Griswold v. Connecticut. Prior to that, even married people could be banned from contraceptives. And Griswold v. Connecticut was the first to find a right to privacy in the Constitution. It's not explicitly stated, but you find it when you read through the body of several related amendments. And the court said married couples do have a right to privacy. It's none of your business whether they use contraception or not. Remember, this was a time when single women couldn't get contraception either. The laws were eventually changed.
How is it anyone's business? Whether you're married or not married, or you have three wives or no wives or four husbands or lots of partners. I mean, how is it anybody's business whatsoever at all? You know, what you or I or our spouses, what we do with regards to contraception, sexual ethics. I didn't know there was a thing. I mean, how does anybody else, if they want to live their life, that's fine. But when they start to try to mandate that I follow in their footsteps, whatever crazy ass belief mythology that might be, that's where we start, you know, having some problems. I'm down with freedom of religion. Knock yourself out. Pay your property taxes. That'd be nice.
Right.
You know, but you know, whatever gets you through the day, but don't think you got to throw that on me. All these Christian nationalists are all concerned about Sharia law. What about canon law? You know, I don't want to be living under any sort of fascistic authoritarianism of any mythology or religion.
And that's where we run into trouble because, again, there are, remember how I said a little bit ago, people are looking for the explicit words from Donald Trump, I committed treason. That's not going to happen. You know, it's not like everybody who comes in and says, I'm robbing this bank. It doesn't get explicit all the time. You need to read the signals. The same can be said about the right to privacy. It is something that is fundamental to being an American, to what makes our society and our culture work, is that right to privacy. That, you know, again, it's so, the irony is just crazy here, that big government cannot come in and tell you what to do. And that, for some reason, people have no problem saying that about, you know, business. Big government can't come in and tell me about my business. But these are the same folks that want big government coming in and judging what you do in the bedroom and deciding what you can and can't do with the effects of that. And so it is on this day of that Griswold v. Connecticut anniversary that we need to be very mindful of our right to privacy and things that are not explicitly enumerated in the Constitution.
Everything other than what's in the Constitution is not explicitly enumerated in the Constitution. So you're going to tell me everything else all of a sudden must be written down? Of course, that's asinine.
Right. I mean, airplanes aren't mentioned. So are airplanes illegal? Should there not be an Air Force because it's not mentioned in the Constitution? So, yeah, this mindset of, you know, strict constructionist has got to be stopped. There is a school of thought for, you know, author's intent, but the authors also owned people. They churned their own butter. You know, the world has changed a lot. And if you don't treat the Constitution as a living, breathing document that keeps up with the times, then you're making the case that you want to go back to a late 1700s mindset where women didn't vote, where they were practically property, where men who didn't own land didn't vote. And, You know, frankly, if there's one thing I've learned.
Isn't that what they want, Pat? I mean, yes.
That's what some people want.
That's what they want. Yes.
Yes,
women should know their place. Get out of line. I mean, when you talk about this author that you had, or this pastor that talked about helping and engaging with those in need of abortive services, and her own upbringing, right? She had to deconstruct her own upbringing because what was it? Very patriarchal, right? Very, very religious. I mean, one would say indoctrinated, perhaps even groomed, depends on what your flavor is. But at least she has the wherewithal to evaluate. A lot of people don't, not just in this country, certainly around the world. And I think that's some of the freedoms, you know, to be able to criticize your own government, your own country, is one of the greatest freedoms you could possibly have, without fear of death or reprisal. That is something worth fighting for. It's about, you know, engaging with in self governance. But the influence of the religion, Pat. And I don't think this is talked about enough, not through the J6 insurrection, the riot, or even, you know, the abortion and all the thoughts that a lot of the right wingers have are fundamentally based in some Christian belief of whatever. And I, as the atheist on the panel here, man, again, whatever gets them through the day is fine. But now they want to use that as their justification to push legislation to mandate through government force that I engage in the same religious-esque behavior that they do. And
it's really
using,
again,
the government in that way is exactly what they claim they don't want, Pat.
And so that's where I was glad to see again one of the quotes that she has here says that what I would invite abortion critics to do is really listen to the stories of people who have experienced abortion, for whom it was a life-saving part of their lives, even a blessing. Be open-hearted to experiences that you might not have considered before. As people of faith, we are asked to keep open hearts and to love and to suspend our judgments and to be compassionate. So asking them just to talk to someone who's had an abortion experience and see if that maybe opens their minds a little bit. And again, to open those minds means we have to have conversations with people with whom we may disagree. We may disagree so strongly with the path that they're on, but to put a legal bulldozer in the way, simply because, you know, their values are not your values, goes against everything that we've created this country on. We created this country on life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, and yet we're looking the other way as children are slaughtered. Well, there's no liberty in pursuit of happiness if you don't have life. And there's no pursuit of happiness if there's no liberty for women to have control over their own bodies. These are fundamental things, like you said, that shouldn't even have to be debated. But the fact that they do means we have to have these conversations.
844-967-2789. Let's get to the lines. Matt from Johnson's Creek, you are up. Welcome, sir. What do you got for us?
To point out on, I think I read where I read it, but it's an idea that I've never really considered. The fact that the First Amendment, the Bill of Rights, starts with Congress shall make no law, right? But you move to the Second Amendment, there's no mention of Congress anywhere. And I've been thinking about it in the last few days, that deep dive into what they actually mean about, you know, originalist intent and things like that. And it's just, I can't believe I never noticed it, that it specifically says Congress shall make no law, you know, religion and petition the government and freedom of the press, but it doesn't say that in the Second Amendment. And I was hoping to get you guys' take on that.
I guess I've always taken it as that it was implied, you know, that the right shall not be infringed is more or less the wording in there. So it just seems like they were, it's more of a writing style, if I'm going to act as a journalist here and a writing coach. But again, you know, that those aren't the words in the Second Amendment that get to me, that again boggle my mind. It's the part about the well-regulated militia. What part of well-regulated are these people missing? When Van Wongard appeared on Capitol City Sunday this past weekend and said he still does not support red flag laws, he still does not support universal background checks, but he does think he might favor letting teachers have loaded guns in classrooms. that's not a well-regulated militia, as far as I can see, Tom.
No, man. No, and it's preposterous. I mean, we're not talking about, you know, front-end loaded, you know, muzzle rifles, right? I mean, we're talking about weapons of war. And we're talking about matters of degree. And I think that cannot be lost. We don't have Tommy guns. You know, I cannot go and purchase a howitzer artillery system, right? Mm-hmm. We can't get suitcase nukes, right? So all of those things are weapons of war. You could construe and say, well, I got a right to all that because my rifle isn't about, you know, shooting deer. It's about, you know, overthrowing a tyrannical government. But if you already accept the fact that you can't have a tank or a howitzer, you know, the government has those things. So your AR-15 isn't going to shoot down the jet. It's not going to stop the howitzer shells. You've already accepted a certain amount of regulation. You've already accepted a governmental approach to what you can and cannot have. All you got to do is take it one step further.
It reminds me of the tweet that really moved me the other day. Said, you know, this whole notion of I need my gun to guard against a government. Government's got drones now that can wipe out people with your right. your little AR-15 back comparison. So that argument just not that good anymore. Dom's here along with Pat Kreitlow filling in for Crudy. We'll be back in a moment.
What is that smell?
Oh, it's a formidable scent.
You can taste it.
You know, desire smells like that to some people.
It's tremendously big and tremendously wet.
Why don't you stop talking for a while?
Maybe sit the next couple plays.
Of the time, they're right every time. The Devil's Advocates.
I'm U.S. Senate candidate Peter Pekarsky.
And into the Devil's Advocates radio show. Phone lines are open. We'll get to your calls at 844-967-2789. We got Pat Kreitlow, UpNorthNewsWI.com, standing in for Crute. Pat, appreciate it, man. Well done. Last segment for us together. But yeah. I want to get this one out there. Since we are in Wisconsin and, you know, you're up north there, hey. Yeah. Our Senator Ron Johnson made the national news again today. Why do you ask? Well, here's what the Raw story states. Ron Johnson trashed after saying the Senate shouldn't pass any gun safety bills until they probe Hunter Biden. Of
Hunter
course.
Biden.
Hunter
Honestly.
Biden.
Honestly.
Asked by Arthur Delaney, he is a reporter with the Huffington Post. Here's what he tweeted out. Asked Ron Johnson about waiting periods for gun sales to buyers under 21. Quote, before we pass anything new, let's enforce the laws we already have. Let's start with Hunter Biden.
I mean, we've talked about Hillary derangement syndrome and Obama derangement syndrome. And isn't it interesting that we never hear anymore about locking up Hillary Clinton? It seems like it was only a useful line of argument when, you know, she was anywhere near power. Now it's Joe Biden who's in power and Ron Johnson can't quit Hunter Biden. Can't. That is quite a you've got a big bridge behind you on our video feed, the big old Hone Bridge in Milwaukee. But this is a bridge that he's building to somehow get to Hunter Biden from any given issue. Hunter Biden is his Kevin Bacon. In fewer than 6 degrees, he can get to Hunter Biden. I think school lunches, you know, should be we should do something about him. Well, not until we do something with Hunter Biden.
Before the election.
Nah, we don't care. Oh, no, we're not going to lock her up. Yes, Ron Johnson, senator from the great state of Wisconsin, out just being the monumental D-bag that he is, trying to spin and, you know, not address what the issue is. I mean, the issue is gun safety measures, right? The issue is we have mass shootings every single day in this country. You are a sitting U.S. senator. You have the ability to impact to legislation to affect that, to change the outcomes, perhaps. And you're going to hide behind Hunter Biden? What? It's ridiculous. And isn't there also already some investigation from DOJ into Hunter Biden? There's an FBI something. Let that play out. That's got absolutely zero to do with what we are talking about. Matthew right. McConaughey was in at the White House today. He's opened up the press conference. I didn't see it, and I'm really not fond of listening to, you know, actors and reality stars. Look where that's gotten us with Reagan and Trump. But He was very passionate and talked about him. He's from the town where all these shootings happened.
Yeah.
I did not know that. So, you know, he's really fired up. And apparently, and how terrible this is, they could only identify one of the children by the sneakers she was wearing. I mean, there's nothing left with, you know, close quarters, AR-15, and a madman. So, I mean, were laws broken by the purchase of the gun? I haven't heard that. He turned 18. That's legal. I mean, I'm not clear that anything that happened was, quote unquote, illegal. Right. So that's not the point of illegal. It's about changing the scenario, changing the circumstances. I think Bernie Sanders tweeted out, we got to drop the liability protections for our manufacturers. You want to really make an impact? All right, get what you want. But you're going to sue the gun manufacturers next time that there is a mass shooting, and they won't make them anymore because they'll all be out of business.
It's been made clear repeatedly that a lot of these mass shootings are people who are 18, 19 years old. So there's been discussion about raising that age back to 21, much as we did with alcohol, because it was killing too many people. So there's this talk, but you still have senators. I know John Cornyn of Texas was one I heard yesterday, calling it an absolute non-starter, even in the face of all of the evidence out there that shows that if you would make that change alone, you would save lives. If you put in a red flag law, you would save lives. If you would put in universal background checks, you would save lives. There is no defense. There's certainly not there's not a constitutional one, because various states have different gun restrictions and have used them well in some states, not so well in others. So there's no defense. But the only thing I can gather, Dom, is that Hunter Biden hasn't told them that it's okay for them to change the laws.
844-967-2789. Pat Kreitlow, last segment. I'm going to bring you to the 6 o'clock hour. We got our pal Maggie Dawn going to jump in with me at 5:30 Central. So make sure you stick around for some ranting from our pal. Let's, I guess my better judgment, let's let conservative CJ roll in here. CJ, welcome. What do you got for us?
Hey there, gentlemen. Thanks for taking my call. So Up North News doesn't get the real news of the day. I can see why you're not an anchor anymore, but $4.91 a gallon. Boy, this guy's doing a great job. The Hunter Biden VP do nothing.
Okay, what would you have the administration do, CJ? How does the president impact the price of oil?
Well, what's even sadder is I'm just
really curious about that, because you have conservatives that are all about, and I get it, man. No one wants to see high gas prices, right? There is reporting out from the World Bank on inflation. Yellen came out and concerned about stagflation. These are real issues coming out of a pandemic, and oil production was down. We also have a war in Ukraine and Russia. Russia's a big oil producer. It's shaking the market. I mean, there's lots of reasons
why. You had an OPEC deal. OPEC made a deal with Trump a couple of years back to reduce their production. You still have China that is supply lines are tightened up because, again, they can't get a handle on COVID. So every time I see one of these reports, which is just about creating a distraction, it's all about the pain at the pump. Yeah, there's pain. But if you're not talking about the root cause, if your report does not mention what Russia is doing, if it does not mention that Saudi Arabia for the longest time refused requests to pump more, if you're not mentioning what's happening with China, its impact on this, and if you're not mentioning that gas here, while high, is still worlds cheaper than it is in other countries, then you don't understand. The president can't set that price. You're grasping at straws because you knew I was going to jump down your throat if you said Hunter Biden, so you went with gas prices.
Hunter.
Yeah, and then Hunter.
Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Thank you, Pat Kreitlow. You got a show. Why don't you kick it up, man? A little shameless self-promotion, man. What do you got coming up?
You bet. Along with Kirk Bankstead and Kristen Lyerly, the Up North podcast, Wednesday nights at 7. And then you can catch my work on a daily basis at upnorthnewswi.com, or go to social media and search Up North News WI. Don't forget that WI. And Dom, this was a real pleasure. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Pat. Appreciate it. Pat Kreitlow, upnorthnewswi.com. I'm Dom, coming back with you on the phones, 844-967-2789. The happy hour is next. Maggie Dawn hitting us up at the the bottom of the hour. Make sure you stick around.
I've never really felt it was society's responsibility to take care of other people's children.
Why don't you stop talking for a while?